Welcome to Breaking News to Trading Moves. We're looking at a conflict playing out across the technology supply chain right now.
Yeah, it's a collision course, really. Yeah. You have this massive spending on AI infrastructure on one side.
And on the other, you have these component costs just spiking.
Exactly. And it's forcing a reevaluation of the entire hardware sector.
The headline that really frames this for us is the recent action on Dell Technologies. That's D-E-L-L.
Mm-hmm. A double downgrade from Morgan Stanley, which is a big move.
A very big move. And they didn't stop there. They also cut ratings on HP Inc., that's HPQ, and Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, HPE.
So a broad call across the sector.
Right. And the argument they're making is centered on what's being called an AI-driven memory cycle.
Which is just a way of saying that the demand for AI is making a specific component memory incredibly expensive.
And their projection is that this is going to pressure hardware margins for a while, well into 2026.
And that, you know, that immediately creates a debate in the market, a real high-stakes debate.
Is the growth from AI, all that demand for AI servers, is it enough to offset the pain of your input costs going through the roof?
That is the question. And it's a perfect lens for viewing the hardware ecosystem because it's just pure financial mechanics. Who's selling the expensive stuff and who's forced to buy it?
And we have some pretty stark data on those price spikes.
We do. And it's the catalyst for this whole adjustment. We're talking about Deere Dynamic Random Access Memory. Its price has increased by 300%.
300% in just 6 months.
It's a number you almost never see for a core component like that. It's wild.
And it's not just Deere.
No. NAND, which is the flash storage you find everywhere, that's up 50% in the same period.
So these are enormous cost increases that have to be absorbed somewhere.
They have to be.
Yeah.
And that absorption process is what's creating the clear winners and the clear losers that we need to talk about.
And it's crucial to understand this pressure doesn't hit every company the same way. Not at all.
No. So the mission for us today is to really dissect this. We need to identify who stands to gain, you know, the ones selling the components, and who's vulnerable to that margin squeeze.
The ones buying them.
Exactly. We've basically broken it down into six distinct categories. Three groups of beneficiaries and three groups that are facing some serious margin erosion risk.
Okay, so let's start there with that central tension. We have these two powerful forces pushing in opposite directions.
You've got the pull of AI demand on one side.
And the inflationary push of input costs on the other.
Right. And to really get it, we need to define this AI memory supercycle a bit more precisely.
It's not just a normal supply and demand thing.
No, it feels more like a structural dislocation. The catalyst, as we said, is that price inflation. 300% for DRAM, 50% for NAND. That isn't just cyclical. It's being driven by a new technological standard.
Okay, so what's the technical mechanism behind that? Why is it happening now?
This is maybe the most critical detail for you to grasp. The core issue is the new requirements for advanced AI servers.
So not your standard data center server.
Not at all. A standard server needs a lot of conventional DRAM. But these new AI servers, especially the ones with high-end GPUs from a company like NVIDIA, they need something else. They need a lot more high bandwidth memory, or HBM.
HBM. And that's different from the DRAM in my laptop.
Completely different. Yep. HBM uses 3D stacking technology. So imagine... Imagine stacking multiple chip skyscrapers on top of each other.
Vertically.
Vertically, yes. And they're connected with these thousands of tiny internal elevators for data. It's incredibly complex. It requires high precision, specialized manufacturing lines, and the yields are much lower than for standard flat DRAM chips.
So because HBM is so difficult to make, manufacturers can't just flip a switch and make more of it when demand goes up.
Precisely. The demand for HBM is enormous, and it's non-negotiable for these AI systems to work. So that consumes manufacturing capacity that could have been used for standard DRAM.
Ah, I see. So the fancy stuff crowds out the regular stuff.
Exactly. When the highest-end production lines are all busy making HBM, which has much higher margins for them, by the way, the supply left for standard DRAM gets really tight.
And that structural constraint is what drives up prices across the entire memory sector.
The squeeze at the high end causes inflation for everyone, all the way down to the commodity chips in a basic PC.
Okay, that makes sense. And that structural shift brings us right back to the Dell Technologies example.
It does.
Morgan Stanley's reason for that double downgrade on Dell, D-E-L-L, was tied directly to this dynamic. Their thesis is pretty simple.
Yeah, it's that the rising DRAM and NAND costs will just crush their hardware margins.
Because they can't pass those costs on to their customers fast enough, especially not in their PC business.
Right. The bill of materials, what it costs to build a Dell laptop, is just rising so fast. If Dell tries to raise the price of a laptop by, say, 30 or 40% to cover that memory cost,
people will just stop buying, or they'll go to a competitor.
Of course. It's a highly competitive market. So Dell is forced to eat that difference. And that means an immediate, substantial hit to their gross margins. It's the core vulnerability for any company selling high volumes of hardware.
But here's the complexity, right? Dell is also a big player in the AI server market.
They are.
So isn't the premium price they can charge for those high-margin AI servers enough to offset the pain they're feeling in the PC business?
And that is the absolute crux of the disagreement in the market. That's the question JP Morgan is asking.
Okay, so what's their take?
JP Morgan disagrees with Morgan Stanley on Dell's immediate outlook for that very reason. Their counterargument is based on the strong demand for AI servers and the backlog of orders Dell already has.
So they're saying the revenue from the good part of the business is secure.
They're arguing that those premium revenue streams might be powerful enough to offset the cost pressure, at least for a while. Or, at a minimum, it provides better revenue visibility than Morgan Stanley is giving them credit for.
So it all comes down to the mix.
Exactly. How much of Dell's business is high-margin AI servers versus how much is vulnerable commodity PCs and standard servers?
And Morgan Stanley thinks the pain in the commodity space is bigger and faster.
Much bigger and much faster than the upside from the specialized AI systems can counteract in the near term. That's why they see margin compression lasting into 2026. JP Morgan is just more optimistic about that AI server backlog.
So for you, the listener, understanding this tension is key. You've got the undeniable risk of this input cost squeeze on one side,
driven by a 300% component jump.
And on the other, the measurable benefits of AI growth. And where you sit in that supply chain dictates which force hits you harder. Are you selling the components or are you buying them?
The sellers are insulated. The buyers are exposed. It's that simple. Let's move to that first group of winners then. The ones who are positioned to gain the most directly.
The manufacturers of the components themselves.
Absolutely. They're at the source of the cost inflation, so they are capturing all of that value immediately. They're the definition of a structural winner here.
And the mechanism is straightforward. They're the ones setting the prices.
Yep. So rising DRAM and NAND prices flow straight to their bottom line as higher average selling prices, ASPS.
And that expands their profit margins. If your cost to make something is low and the price you sell it for goes up 300%, your profitability just explodes.
And we have to come back to that compounding factor, HBM. The AI servers need so much of it.
The high margin
the highest margin product they make. So the intense demand for HBM reinforces both their volume and their pricing power. They can dedicate their limited production capacity to the products that make them the most money.
So their success is tied directly to this price cycle. Let's look at the key companies here, starting with Micron Technology, that's MU.
Okay, so Micron is one of the big three global manufacturers of memory chips. They are positioned to capitalize on this immediately.
Their whole business model is tied to this cycle.
It is. Their financial health, their stock performance, it's all directly tied to the ASP cycle. When industry ASPs climb by hundreds of percent like they are now, Micron's revenue per chip just jumps.
Which leads to margin expansion and higher earnings.
Right. And you have to remember, memory manufacturing is cyclical. When prices are low, they struggle. But when prices soar, they print money. This AI supercycle is pushing them into a historically aggressive expansion phase.
So their profitability could stay high for longer than in a normal cycle.
Potentially through 2026, yes. They're benefiting from both the sheer volume needed for AI and that extreme premium on HBM.
Now let's talk about another name here, one that's maybe a non-traditional winner in a memory cycle, NVIDIA, NVDA.
Mm-hmm.
They're known for GPUs, but they're getting a heavy tailwind from HBM demand. But why are they a winner in the memory cycle if they're a buyer of HBM, not a seller?
That's a great question. And the nuance there is what makes them a structural winner. NVIDIA's GPU ecosystem, their whole AI platform, is the primary engine driving this HBM demand in the first place.
The GPUs need the HBM to function.
They absolutely need it. To run these advanced AI models, the GPUs require massive amounts of high-speed memory integrated right onto the package with the GPU. It prevents data bottlenecks. Without HBM, the GPU just can't perform at the level required.
So NVIDIA's control over the platform makes them the most important customer for the highest-end memory.
The largest and most crucial consumer, yes. Their non-negotiable demand for HBM is what solidifies the market structure that allows memory prices to soar. Their ecosystem guarantees high demand for the most expensive component,
which directly benefits the memory producers.
It does. It secures a long-term price flow for HBM. So NVIDIA's success ensures this supercycle has legs, making them an intrinsic partner to the memory winner group.
So even though they pay a high price for the HBM chips themselves,
the margins on their total AI solution are so incredibly high that the cost of the HBM input is almost irrelevant. They just pass it on.
It sounds like the high price of HBM just allows NVIDIA to charge an even higher premium for their final integrated platform.
That's a very good way to put it. The component price is just a cost of goods sold in a product whose final value is many, many times greater.
Okay, that makes sense.
So moving on, let's look at our second group of winners. These are the storage makers who are leveraged to NAND pricing.
Right, so this is about the companies that make the finished storage products, showing how that 50% NAND inflation helps more than just the chip makers.
Exactly. It shows the breadth of this inflationary environment. And the reason these companies benefit is, well, it's a perfect storm for them.
You've got the NAND inflation.
And you have the explosive growth in data center storage buildouts happening globally. Every AI model, all that training data, it has to be permanently stored somewhere. That creates constant demand for more capacity.
So the rising component costs and the relentless data creation, that combination lifts their pricing power.
It does. For both U.S.-listed hard disk drive, or HDD, and flash storage vendors, they can raise prices on their finished products, like solid-state drives or storage arrays, without really fearing a loss of market share.
Because the underlying cost of the components is going up for everyone in the industry.
Right. So it allows them to maintain and often even expand their profit margins. And this was a point that was specifically noted in the analyst reports. They're more constructive on these storage names than on the general hardware OEMs.
Meaning they believe these guys can pass on the inflated costs much better than, say, a Dell or an HP.
Much better. So let's look at Western Digital, WDC.
How are they exposed?
Western Digital has two main businesses, flash, which is NAND, and traditional hard drives, HDD. The flash part is directly exposed to that 50% rise in NAND pricing.
So they sell their SSDs for a higher price, boosting profits.
Right, but it goes deeper. The AI boom demands huge amounts of storage for both training and inference data, so Western Digital's entire portfolio gets a lift. They can sell all their high-capacity drives at higher prices.
And they control their own NAND supply chain, don't they?
They do, which gives them a cost advantage over competitors who have to buy NAND on the open market. That integration helps shield their margins and really maximizes their exposure to this rising price environment.
Okay, and then you have Seagate Technology, STX. They're mostly in the HDD market, right, for mass storage and data centers. How does NAND inflation help a hard drive company?
It's more of an indirect benefit, but it's real. It comes through price firming across the whole storage market.
Okay.
So while HDDs use different technology, the general uplift in storage pricing because of the AI data boom benefits Seagate. It lets them firm up their own pricing.
Because the hyperscalers need both kinds of storage.
Vast amounts of both. They need flash for fast access, and they need disk for bulk archives for these huge AI data lakes. So if the price of flash storage goes up really fast because of the NAND situation,
and naturally puts upward pressure on the price of hard drives.
It does. Customers looking for cheaper bulk storage are forced to accept higher HDD prices too. So Seagate's gains come from that strong demand for mass storage, allowing them to maintain pricing discipline in what's otherwise a pretty mature market.
All right, let's move upstream in the supply chain to our third group of winners. These are the companies in the AI server supply chain that have real pricing power.
Yes, and what gives them insulation from the margin squeeze that's hitting the general hardware makers is their specialization and necessity.
So explain that mechanism. Why do they benefit?
Well, even if the OEM margins get squeezed downstream, the Dell problem, these upstream components and platform leaders, they maintain their demand and their pricing strength.
Because they're selling specialized mission-critical parts of the AI puzzle.
Pieces that have no easy substitutes. And the driving force here, as we've said, is the relentless spending by the hyperscalers, the big cloud providers.
Their priority is performance and reliability, not saving a few bucks on a commodity part.
Absolutely. When you're deploying an AI cluster that costs hundreds of millions of dollars, getting the best, most specialized components on time is way more important than a price spike in standard DRAM.
And that priority is what gives these suppliers their pricing power.
They're selling scarcity and highly engineered performance. They can pass through any cost increasers. They're negotiating from a position of strength. They can say, if you want this, this is the price, and you'll wait in line for it.
So let's look at Supermicrocomputer, SMCI. They've become a leader in these optimized server solutions for AI.
Supermicro's whole business is built around serving those hyperscaler and high-performance computing customers. They make highly configured application-specific systems.
Things like liquid-cooled, high-density GPU servers.
Perfect for AI training. And crucially, they've proven they can rapidly source and integrate the newest components, including those very sought-after GPUs and HBM.
So their focus on the high-end platforms is what lets them retain pricing power.
It is. They're selling a specialized, high-value solution, not a commodity box. Their ability to deliver these complex systems quickly during an infrastructure boom means their margins are protected from the inflation that's hitting the generic hardware market.
Okay, what about Broadcom, AVGO? They supply critical components like networking solutions. Where's their leverage?
Their leverage comes from their proprietary technology in areas like custom silicon and networking switches.
Things you can't just buy off the shelf.
Exactly. These chips are often proprietary, and they are absolutely essential for high-speed data transfer within these massive AI clusters. You just can't run a large-scale AI system without their specialized hardware connecting all the GPUs,
So they're a necessary high-value vendor.
which allows them to dictate terms. They can pass through costs and sustain strong margins because their components can't be easily swapped for a cheaper alternative. Broadcom basically has a monopoly in key parts of this high-speed data infrastructure. That gives them huge leverage.
All right, let's shift focus now. We need to talk about the groups facing the most pressure, the ones that kicked off this whole discussion. Group one of the losers.
The PC and enterprise hardware OEMs, the squeeze point.
And the mechanism of loss for them is, as you said, pretty straightforward.
Straightforward, but financially punitive. These companies have memory-heavy bills of materials. DRAM and NAND make up a substantial part of the total cost of their products.
And they get caught in a trap of timing and competition.
Right. If DRAM costs go up 300% faster, then they can pass those costs on to their customers, who are very resistant to price changes. Their gross margins just compress.
Which leads directly to lowered earnings estimates.
They're buying high and selling relatively low just to hold on to their market share.
This brings us right back to Dell Technologies, DELL, and that double downgrade. Their exposure is pretty broad.
It is. It cuts across both their PC and server divisions. In the PC market, margins are already razor thin because of all the competition.
So, trying to raise the price of a consumer laptop to account for a 300% NEEM cost spike is basically impossible.
Impossible without losing every sale. So Dell has to absorb most of that cost. That leads to deep erosion in the PC division's gross margins.
And what about their standard server market?
Not the specialized AI ones, but the commodity workhorses. Dell relies on massive volumes there, and those servers need huge amounts of DRAM.
So the sheer quantity magnifies the effect of the price increase.
It does. And the competition with players like Hewlett-Packard Enterprise is so fierce that it limits Dell's ability to just raise prices overnight. The squeeze is immediate and pronounced.
And the downgrade suggests the pain in those two big commodity segments will overwhelm any benefit from their smaller, higher-margin AI server
For the
business.
next year or two, yes. That's the view.
Okay, similarly, let's look at HP Inc., HPQ. They're mainly in PCs and printing, so they have less exposure to the premium server market than Dell.
Which makes them more vulnerable in this specific scenario. HP is almost entirely exposed to the inflation of memory components in laptops and desktops.
So their PC gross margins are particularly susceptible.
Very. The consumer and commercial PC markets are just very sensitive to price. Customers see a laptop as a commodity, not a specialized infrastructure asset.
So when component costs spike, HP has to bear that cost internally for a while.
Which eats directly into their profitability. Unlike a specialized AI vendor, they have no pricing power. They are trapped between the rising input costs from memory producers and the competitive pressure from other OEMs. They are a textbook example of a company caught in the middle of this squeeze.
So the key for this group is their lack of pricing power relative to the memory producers and the specialized AI platform builders.
A total lack of it. There are mature competitive markets with stable price expectations. That creates a painful, unavoidable lag when input costs surge.
Okay, but the pain extends beyond just the PC makers.
It does. It affects other server builders and, maybe less obviously, the distribution channels.
Let's talk about that second group of losers. Server OEMs with mixed risk and integration headwinds.
The mechanism of loss for this group is that servers inherently need large memory footprints. That makes them susceptible to the cost inflation. But for this group, there's another problem.
Internal issues.
Right. Internal execution or integration challenges make it even harder for them to mitigate these external pressures. A prime example is Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, HPE.
They also got a ratings cut.
They did. HPE is a key server OEM. Their core business requires large memory footprints, making them extremely sensitive to DRAM price increases.
And their profitability depends on how well they can manage that through their sales channels.
And the analyst's view suggests that while they might benefit from overall IT spending, the rate of component cost inflation will just outpace their ability to manage it. That leads to near-term margin distress. Their reliance on standard DRAM is their Achilles heel in this environment.
And another company in this category is NetApp, N-T-A-P.
NetApp is an enterprise hardware and storage vendor. They sell storage, but they're primarily a buyer of high volumes of NAND and DRAM to build their storage arrays.
So that makes them a buyer, not a seller, in this memory cycle?
Exactly. Their margins are highly sensitive to component inflation. If the cost of those memory chips rises too quickly, their ability to stay profitable on their systems is compromised.
Even though they sell a specialized enterprise solution?
Yes, because their bill of materials is massive and directly tied to NAND and DRAM prices. They're a big corporate buyer, caught in the inflation cycle, and they're struggling to adjust their long-term enterprise pricing contracts fast enough to keep up.
Okay, finally, let's talk about the indirect victims. Group three of the losers, IT distributors and resellers.
Right. This group doesn't make the hardware, but they suffer the consequences of the upstream squeeze.
How does that mechanism work?
It's indirect, but it's clear. When the OEMs like Dell or HP face these margin squeezes, what do? They react by aggressively cutting channel incentives.
Slashing rebates.
Slashing rebates, pushing pricing volatility downstream to the distributors. The OEMs are trying to protect their own bottom lines by squeezing costs wherever they can, and the distribution channel is a major place they do that.
So the outcome is that the distributors' profitability and their financial guidance get hurt.
They get hurt because they bear the downstream impact of the OEM's internal cost problems. They rely on predictable margins and incentives, and when those are reduced or become volatile, their whole business suffers.
So a company like Avnet, AVT, a major distributor,
their earnings are exposed entirely to the margin health of their OEM partners. If Dell and HPE are facing intense cost pressure, Avnet will see reduced rebates, harder price negotiations, and maybe even increased inventory risk. It just makes their business less profitable.
And it's a similar story for Arrow Electronics, ARW.
Another key distributor facing the same risk. Reduced channel incentives, decreased profitability. Arrow and Avnet serve as a critical thermometer for the health of the hardware sector.
So when the manufacturers get a fever from cost inflation,
the distributors catch the cold immediately.
So what we've seen is a clear structural differentiation in the hardware market, and it's all being driven by the AI boom.
It is. The massive demand for AI is acting like a pressure test. And it's separated the companies who have direct control over input prices, like the memory producers,
Micron,
from those with superior pricing power because of their specialization, like Broadcom and Supermicro.
And separating them from the ones whose business models are just easily eroded by component inflation.
The mass market OEMs and their channels.
It really illustrates a crucial truth. In this race to build AI infrastructure, the gains are absolutely not evenly distributed.
Not at all. That 300% increase in DRAM pricing is a massive tailwind for the memory makers. It's transforming their profitability.
But it's a punitive fiscal headwind for anyone who has to buy that memory, like a Dell or an HP.
It forces you, the learner, to look past the general enthusiasm for AI and really examine where value is accumulating and where it's being destroyed inside the supply chain.
This cycle shows that your proximity to the scarce, high-value resource, in this case, high-speed memory, is what determines if you win.
The suppliers of those scarce components, or the ones who can charge premium prices for specialized platforms, are structurally insulated. Meanwhile, those selling commodity hardware where memory is just a cost item are highly exposed. They are vulnerable to multi-year margin contraction. And the fact that this memory inflation is projected to last into 2026 suggests the hardware market is going to stay stratified like this for the foreseeable future.
We remind you that the content discussed here is purely the opinion of the author of the research material.
This analysis is not financial advice, and it should not be taken as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Any investment decision must be based on your own research and due diligence.